Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another delicious episode of Forking Around Town. I'm your host, Tracy, and today I have probably my favorite guest ever to be on my show, Melissa Santel. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. You are so sweet.
Well, you are a freaking rock star. I'm serious. I feel starstruck around you. I'm just going to be honest.
I'm blushing so much, like I might get blush on the microphone right
That's
now.
A good thing. That's a good thing. But no, really, Melissa is just an incredible force to be reckoned with in the food scene in Tampa. And I admire your work. I always have. You're just an amazing person.
Thank you. Thank you much. It's been a really interesting journey transitioning from being in full-time kind of agency life, right, marketing, to being on my own and kind of finding where I'm meant to be. I think it's something that everyone goes through when they make the leap to be an entrepreneur, work for themselves, or be a solopreneur, whatever people are calling it these days.
But you're doing a great job. I mean, I look at your stuff sometimes and I think, this girl is talented, she's sweet, beautiful, just you've got it all. You've got it all.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about you for a minute. So tell me about how you got started in the food industry and everything that you do.
Yeah, well, I guess it all stems back to my family life. So growing up, I'm Italian. Food was always something that brought us together, whether it was like Italian, like Sunday sauce with the entire family, or just holidays have super fond memories of food and the way it made me feel. So, you know, when I was old enough to get a job, I started working at a pizza joint. It was called Picnic Pizza. It was like one of those tiny, tiny pizza places inside of a mall.
Where was it at?
Upstate New York.
Okay. That's right.
And since then, I've just been really inspired by food. And when I got to college, I was University of Tampa's very first food critic for their campus newspaper. So it was kind of cool to make that role happen. And then shortly after, I worked a bit in Tampa here and then packed up my car and drove to New York City and then lived there for a couple of years working in food and beverage. So I've just been all about food for quite some time.
And that's usually how it is. It's your passion and you love it. And you have a cookbook coming out.
I do. So one thing that I found during my food journey is that a lot of recipes are either really hard to follow or even if they've been qualified online with a 5-star rating, they come out so poorly. So it was like... Me starting a cookbook was a byproduct of my love for food and writing, but also because I wanted to provide like a fun alternative solution to the pain point that I was running into.
Right. I've done that before where I find a recipe online and it just does not come out the way it's supposed to. And I think, did I do something wrong? But I followed everything. Now with baking, I know it's such a science.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Just, you know, other recipes, I've encountered that.
Yeah, then, I mean, I've made the best chocolate chip cookie recipe over and over and over because everyone has one, right? And it's just always so disappointing. So I said, I'm gonna make it my own.
I love it. And what is the name of your cookbook?
Okay, so that's something that I'm still toying
with.
You know, but I have come up with a pretty interesting position for it. So instead of being separated or categorized by like meat, fish, you know, appetizers, lunch, dinner, breakfast, I'm going to categorize it by occasion. So
I like that.
So it's kind of going to be like a book that you can flip open to any page. Like there'll be a section like when you're hungover, when you're wildly hungover,
that's like perfect.
Make this food. or if you're having a brunch party, like there'll be a brunch menu in there with a couple of cocktail recommendations and, you know, food that you can share.
I love that.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever done that before.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So I hope that it'll resonate with a lot of people and be a useful tool. But I'm also shooting it in like a pop art food type way. So like think Andy Warhol meets like pop art food.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it'll be something that people can also like stash on their coffee table and show their friends.
I love it. I can't wait. I want a signed copy.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the little people.
Girl,
you. Okay, no, absolutely. Well, I want to actually talk to you about food photography because you are definitely one of the people that I really admire. So what kind of camera do you use?
I use a Fujifilm X-T2.
Okay.
So I've had Fujis, Nikons, Canons.
Right.
And I really am loving, I'm loving Fuji. It's been great so far. Mm-hmm. But I have learned that lenses make a world of difference.
Yes, they do.
So you can have a really old body camera and pop an amazing lens on it, and it's still going to work really hard for you and produce nice mm-hmm. images.
Very good. I'm actually in the market to get a new camera, and I'm torn. I don't know what to get. I've never been this indecisive.
Well, there's so many options.
There are, and I'm just trying to think, like, what would be the best one for me, just, you know, mainly for food.
Yeah, what I've been exploring, and you should look into, too, are macro lenses.
Okay.
So, you know, we like those really tight, beautiful shots where you're focusing on one point. Mm-hmm. Macro lens will get you there.
Okay, no, that's definitely something I need to look into. And so what are some of your tips for photography? Because, I mean, again, your pictures are just stunning.
Thank you.
I look at them, I'm like, God, I want to be like her.
Well, we have to eat together sometimes.
Right, right.
So I would say I'm like a highly annoying diner.
I think all of this, like, Tampa foodies are.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm the type of person who will literally go up to the hostess stand and be like, hi, I need a seat next to the window.
Right.
Please.
I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
And if I have to wait for it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Or I want that table over there. I'm pointing to the corner where there's like a little bit of window light goodness coming through. But I would say there are a few keys that you definitely need to have in food photography. Mm-hmm. And that is, A, like, the spot needs to be very well lit that you're shooting in. A lot of times artificial light or lighting, like fluorescent lighting, is really, really harsh on food. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of places in Tampa where I am just like, well, fuck it. I'm going to take this outside.
Right. You know? Can't. Like, I hate to say, I mean, Dad's is actually one of the toughest places to photograph food. I found that so many times. So if I'm ever there, I go outside. They have that little island thing that and on the patio.
Yeah.
I use that all the time. And they just look at me like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to take a picture.
Right. I'm
I can't
to give
do
you
it.
Some free content.
I know. Because, I mean, they're all about social media. And I'm just surprised that their lighting is tough.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's a lot of places in Tampa and a lot of places in general. So I would say, like, making sure lighting is key, taking that plate outside, A++. Angles. Angles are a huge thing. A lot of times I see a lot of people just focusing on just the overhead flat lay. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that you shouldn't just be taking a picture of the food item. Mm-hmm. You should, at that point, if you're taking an overhead shot, really bring in outside elements to tell the story of the dish.
Right.
So when I'm shooting the cookbook, of course, I have all these props and things at my disposal. So, you know, I've spray painted spoons and, you know, like random napkins and dish towels to pull in to the set. Or even just ingredients, like having ingredients like a head of garlic sitting on a cutting board with a knife brings in a lot of added texture and storytelling elements. I think that that makes a world of difference.
Yeah. I swear, every time, I'm going to look at your Instagram right now because I was just looking at it this morning and I'm thinking, my gosh, this, you just know what you're doing. How did you get started with food photography though?
I would say I got started when I was in New York City. That was really the tipping point for me. I was working for a luxury catering and events company called Newman's Kitchen, and I was their director of marketing, so I was doing all of the marketing, and there's actually no one below me, so I was directing no one. But
that's funny.
Yeah, I know. Love it. Interesting, right? But I was working alongside the executive chef a lot, as well as the CEO. The CEO was also an artist, so everything that I did there was critiqued, and I had a lot of eyes on it. So when I was managing their social media and writing blog posts for them, I really began to take a huge interest in capturing food photos that were really meaningful and communicated the message clearly.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at this picture right now. I really love the post from Friday when you said, Friday question, what do you do when you feel like giving up? And it's interesting because, you know, sometimes I feel that way. I get burned out on going to restaurants and taking pictures, and I think, am I really doing something to make a difference? Or there's so many of us. So, like, what do you recommend for someone who's kind of in a rut, like a food rut, and they want to do something to refresh in their Instagram feed? Or
yeah, I would say get in the car and travel. I mean, even driving to Sarasota. Sarasota has some really great places. I find, like, it's so re-energizing when you can turn your phone off, go to a new place, bring your camera, or just, like, totally disconnect, you know?
Yes, it's important to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at, like, yoga retreats and things like that. I'm going to reward myself after this cookbook is done.
You have to.
Yeah, so I would say, like, definitely travel, unplug, and, you know, like, get back to the reason why you wanted to do this in the first place. I think it's, like, really important to have a valid understanding of why you're doing what you're doing.
Right. It's funny you mentioned Sarasota. I'm actually spending the Cinco de Mayo weekend there.
Ooh.
So I cannot wait. I haven't been to Sarasota in a while. I've only been a few times, but I've met so many friends out there now through Instagram. And so we kind of share stories and, you know, they have places they want to come to in Tampa and, you know, me in Sarasota. So I'm just spending the whole weekend there and I'm going to try to hit like 15 restaurants.
Yeah, girl, get
it's
on
be crazy.
It.
Crazy. Yeah.
Excited. One place that's pretty new that I would say you should go to, there's a hotel called The Modern, and inside they have a restaurant called Rudolph's. And
oh, wow.
I actually didn't eat there, but I had a cocktail there. And one of the ways that I, like, rate and verify my cocktails is the ice cube.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know if an ice cube has been made properly. So, say, like, you're getting, like, an actual cube, right? Like, a big cube in a Negroni or a Manhattan. If the ice is clear, then they have treated the water properly in order to make you have that clear ice cube. So you either have to boil the water or the water needs to be filtered in a certain way. But it's a step that a lot of restaurants skip.
Yeah.
And so when you see that, you know that this is a good place.
I never thought about that.
Yep.
Now I'm going to be looking at my ice cubes all the time.
Yeah. Check them out. I swear when you see a clear one, you'll be like, yes, good.
This is like a revelation.
Yeah. Owen's Fish Camp is another one. That's my favorite restaurant.
I've heard of it.
They have oysters the size of your head.
I love oysters.
Me too.
I could eat them every day. I know. I'm actually going to be in Safety Harbor this weekend.
Ah.
I'm a judge in a burger competition, which is tough. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
No.
It's really hard.
That's awesome.
It's really hard, though, because the first time I was a judge at an event, I can't even explain how hard it is. You feel sick at the end. Even just taking little bites. I mean, I wasn't myself for like 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. So this time I'm nervous. So I'm going to try to prepare for it, like work out really hard the night before or the day of. But I'm actually going to stay the night in Safety Harbor after the event and then just kind of explore there on Sunday.
Yeah.
And see what's going on.
There's a couple cool places I can tell you about offline there.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of Gregorio's?
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'll be too full to eat after the event, but I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Yeah, I've actually never been there, but it was like a block away from one of my old offices I used to work in. So that parts of Paris is one of the best French restaurants in Tampa, in my opinion.
Really?
And it's also in that same neighborhood. Right. And then there's Little Lamb Gastro Pub, which is...
Okay. I have not heard of
that. You got to check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna really try to go eat somewhere that night after the event. I'll take a nap and then find a spot.
God bless America.
Yeah, I think we have to try 15 burgers.
Oh,
and beer too, because it's the beer and burger throwdown. So yeah, should be interesting.
Crazy. That's crazy.
It's gonna be tough.
I'll be with you in spirit.
Oh yeah. Well, you can live vicariously through my Instagram feed. Oh my God. It's gonna be interesting.
You know I will. That sounds awesome.
Well, then Easter's on Sunday. Do you have any plans?
My family is just coming into town. My sister is coming from D.C.
Very nice.
So I was actually thinking about going blueberry picking with them. I thought
that would be so much fun. Have you done it before?
Yeah. Yeah.
I took my son last year for his birthday, and it was so peaceful and relaxing. It was a great way to spend the day.
Yeah. I just discovered this little new market, and it's right outside of Starkey Ranch.
Okay.
And it's called Starkey Market. But – you walk up to it and they actually have all of these flowers and vegetables that are sourced from some of the same farms that the St. Pete Farmers Market has. And that's like my go-to jam for all of my food, you know, for the cookbook and just generally.
Yeah.
But they have a gigantic blackberry patch behind there.
Oh, so wow.
I'm going to try maybe over there because there's not a lot of people who know about it.
I was going to say, that's a secret. I love blackberries.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, definitely let me know. I'm excited. So what's next on your horizon after the cookbook?
That is a wonderful question.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a big project that you've been really working hard on.
It's huge. It's huge. I think that right now I'm trying to make the transition into focusing more on food photography. So I am really looking for partnerships that would be long-term, that are with restaurants that share the same vision and passion and beliefs as I do. There's actually one restaurant that I'm courting right now.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that I cannot wait for. They're coming to Ybor City.
Okay.
It's called the Barter House.
Okay.
You've probably seen the signage for it.
You know what? I have, actually, and I was wondering what it was all about. Okay.
Yeah, they are awesome, and I've been stalking them forever, so... Yeah, I think some long-term restaurant relationships, though, would be great moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your talent will just dazzle them. I know it will.
Oh, thank you.
Well, speaking of, like, you know, restaurants, I know I ask everyone this question, but what are, like, three restaurants in Tampa that you would take someone to who's new to the area? Because I get this question all the time, and I struggle with it because there are so many. I think we're so blessed. Every day, something new's opening. And I struggle. It's hard.
Totally. I mean, there are so many. It depends on the guest, of course. But I love Crew Cellars. I think that they have, like, the best cheese plate and charcuterie option. Along with En Swan, but Crew Cellars, I love their commitment to sustainable wine. I love Jen. I love everything about their atmosphere and how education, you know, like driven that they are in the wine space.
Have you listened to their podcast?
I have, but only one. I love Jen. I should be listening to more.
No, she's a wonderful person. I took her one of her wine courses.
Gosh, me too.
Like five. Oh God, it was a while ago. It was a long time ago. Crew You.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. I learned so much.
Yeah, and it's crazy because when you think of like a wine class, you really are like, okay, well, I'm going to be drinking wine a lot.
It's
hard. You don't really expect to learn that much, but I walked away with so much knowledge. Right.
It was challenging though, because I mean, there was just so much to learn. I felt like every time I went, I was like, I just left with so much.
I know.
In my head.
And I love how intimate the classes were, too. They're tiny. And Zach was actually our instructor, the wine director now. And he's hilarious, you know. So you want to learn from him.
Right.
But other two restaurants, I would say, Crew. Love going to Crew. I love Osteria Natalina.
I have not been there in quite some time. I need to revisit because it's so close. But yes.
Yeah. I guess I also just have an emotional connection to them because Spartaco is the owner and him and his family are from Rimini, Italy. And he was one of the first restaurants that I reviewed when I moved to Tampa.
Very nice.
So I had some one-on-one time with him and interviewed him. I had my college graduation party there. Like, it has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They really are.
I love those really small, intimate places.
Yeah.
Just nice and quiet. And it kind of does force you to disconnect a little bit from social media because I always find that if I'm in a place like that, I just don't want to have my phone out. I feel like someone's going to come yell at me from
the
kitchen.
Right. Sparticle. No.
Yeah. I used to work at a restaurant back in California, an Italian restaurant, and cell phones were not allowed. It even said on the menu, no cell phones.
And wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I think it was great. I mean, because it was like, talk to people. I loved it. I mean, it was like on the menu. They had a sign at the door, put your cell phones away.
That makes me so happy inside. Yeah. Literally. There are so many times where I'm just like, I wish I could throw this thing out the window. I mean, not because it's going off constantly, but because it distracts me from being productive a lot of the time. So, yeah, we're on our cell phones a lot, guys.
We are. And I get yelled at by somebody in my life all the time. Put your phone away. Put your phone away. Stop Instagramming. Put your phone away. I hear it. Yeah. So
you're like, I just can't stop.
it's hard, especially when you're at an event or something, you know. But yeah, I'm learning. I'm starting to post later. Take the picture, put it away, enjoy the moment.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. I feel like that's so important.
Right.
My last one, my last restaurant, I would say I'm super excited about Okinola.
I have not dined there yet.
Really? Okay. You have to check it out. Okay. Anne Kearney is the executive chef there, and she's like a James Beard Award winner. She has all of the highest accolades that a chef can attain, right. And she's a female, which is awesome.
Right, even better.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I can support female chefs, I always do. And I've eaten there a handful of times since it opened and really enjoyed it.
I need to go.
You should.
I have a list that's so long. I finally went to En Swan for the first time about a month ago.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
What'd you order?
Well, let's see. We had a lot of different things. We had carpaccio. We had the saffron arancini. Mm. Some oysters. I'm trying to remember the lamb meatballs. I think that's it. Just a couple little things.
So good.
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah, I love those. I love making those. My kids love them. So yeah. Those are fun. I've loved them since I was a kid. They're just one of my little go-tos.
Yeah, they're so good.
And they're so easy.
I've never made them at home.
They're really easy to make. Okay. I just use my Dutch oven. I mean, I have a deep fryer, but I just use my, my Le Creuset. It's easy. Just fry them on the stovetop.
Oh my God.
Easy.
Crazy. My Le Creuset Dutch oven is like Jesus Christ for me. I love it.
Mine is really special to me because I was telling a friend of mine, I never win anything. I enter contests all the time, but I won this at a food conference in Atlanta like 7 years ago, and I was so excited. And everyone wanted to trade with me. People won like Keurigs, and I was like, nope, this is mine. I love it. It's my favorite piece in my kitchen.
Oh my God, that is so crazy. I won mine too.
Where?
It was really an Instagram giveaway on Food 52, and won it. And then I also won one for my sister. So they sent one to her, and they sent one to me, and I was just like, wow, this is the best day ever.
I love all their colors. Mine is green, which is, you know, because my kitchen is all Italian color, so it fits.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing all these pastel colors, and I'm obsessed with them. They're so pretty.
I know. The color seems endless.
Right.
Endless. I love it.
I know. Well, anyway, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join me today. I'm excited. This is like, seriously, this is going to be like the best podcast I've ever done. Hands down.
Oh, I am so thankful that you thought of me to be your guest, and I'm excited to be here.
Right? I'm excited too. And so tell us where everyone can follow you on Instagram and your website and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram handle is @MelSantel, and my website is www.foodxfeels.com.
Perfect. And I'll be sharing some little snippets from our podcast, and I'll be tagging you so people can follow along.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Forking Around Town. Don't forget that a new episode comes out every Tuesday. And if you have a moment, please rate, review, and subscribe to my podcast on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play. Have a great day.
This is a Flavor of Tampa Bay with Ian Beckles and Tracy Guida Quick Fix on Radio Influence Tampa Bay.
The Davis Island area, we were just there the other day. I was seeing my boy Dave from 220 East, and Dave has wonderful food there. Then we went to the coffee shop next door, which was called what? Do you remember?
Davis Island Coffee Company.
Davis Island Coffee Company. I mean, how long has that little area been flourishing? Because I've been to 220 East for a while, but it just seems like a lot of things are popping up in that little area.
They are. I think it's an area where you have certain restaurants that are well established. They've been there 20 years. And so their anchors, the community is well aware of them. But then you also have new places like us coming in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice for the community. It gives them something to try. And hopefully they continue to support us.
Flavor of Tampa Bay with Ian Beckles and Tracy Guida can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and ritampabay.com.